You ever see this guy with the pillows on Fox? My pillow guy, Mike Lindell. He is the greatest. The My Pillow guy. Mike Lindell. And he's been with us right from the beginning.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Lindell Report. And this is going to be, I already know, one of my favorite episodes in history. And why? Well, because I have my good friend, Mayor Rudy Giuliani, and the greatest mayor this country's ever seen in history coming on. I want to give you a little background of me and the mayor. I first met Rudy in the summer of 2016. I was at the, for some reason, I ended up at the National Republican Convention, and I didn't know a thing about politics, and I ran into the mayor in the hallway, and just, we hit it off, and then maybe a few weeks later, you guys all know about my famous meeting with the then candidate, Donald Trump, on August 15, 2016, and I was in his office by myself with then president or present candidate or candidate Trump, and I needed a few more things I had to talk to Mr. Trump about at the time, but he said, "Well, Mike, I got to read this. I got to do a speech today in Ohio," and I took that as a hint. I better go. Well, at that moment in time, Mayor Giuliani walked around the into the office, singing the My Pillow jingle. For the best night's sleep, we all sat back down, and I'll never forget that moment. But it just ever since then we became very good friends, and he's been, as everybody knows, one of the biggest heroes this country's ever seen. And we have news today: he's just been attacked again and canceled again. So let's go right to Mr. Giuliani. Rudy, are you there?
Rudy, yep. And the feelings are mutual, Mike. I consider you one of the really just most courageous guys for putting up this fight, which after all wasn't yours, and now it's become yours. But hey, it's a fight for all of us. We live in a country where a significant amount of our constitutional rights have been taken away for those of us who happen to be Republican, for those of us who support Donald Trump, or for Donald Trump himself. In my particular case, I've had a show on WABC now for 4.5 years without interruption, right through the election. I have, of course, since the time of the election, covered rather completely all of the information about the election controversy. I've had on the people who did 2,000 Mules. I've had on, I've had Christina Bob on. I myself will do an analysis of where new information came up. And all of a sudden, last Thursday, I received a letter telling me that the station had a policy that you couldn't comment on the 2020 election. Well, this completely floored me because I don't think I've done anything else but comment on the 2020 election in 4 years. And now today, in a completely fraudulent article in the New York Post, they say they were continually warning me. Well, they had to have warned me about 400 times. So I assure you, this is the first time I ever heard it. And if you know me, I wouldn't work for someone who wouldn't let me comment on the 2020 election.
Right.
I mean,
and you would have commented long before this, and you wouldn't have put up with censorship. I know you. You would never have put up with that. And I want to say, too, you know, this is WABC out of New York. It's where I got my start, you know, back in the day, everybody. And that same, the same owner now, John Castamatidis, if I said that right, I was on his show, Rudy, before about 3 years ago. It was after the 2020 election. And it might have been in, I'll say, November, December of 2020. I could get it wrong what the date was, but I've been on his show many times. So I came on his show and I said, "Our real president, Donald Trump," I said something like that, or, you know, "he really won the election." And man, there was a big argument with this lady on his show. And And from that time on, I was never, ever invited back. But here's what, you know, I watched you on War Room and stuff the other day. And since this has happened, when you opened there and you said, I got a question you haven't been asked. And I already know the answer, but you think about this, you have been talking about elections since it happened, since all in the 2020 election, you were the biggest fighter out there. And immersed in it, right? You've seen more. You've probably forgotten more that you've seen of election crime, especially with machines and everything else. And by the way, on this program, you can say Dominion, Smartmatic. You can say ES&S Heart. You can say anything you want on this show. I do it all the time. And it's disgusting that they put these censorship on. But let me tell you, I've been saying for a long time, Rudy, the damage done to our country with the media has been more damage done, I believe, by the media on the right than on the left. And here's what I mean by that. When I get attacked or when they attack President Trump or attack you, who's the one that puts it out there? The media on the left. And we can get the word out in between the attacks. You know, I've had media. Right. I've had the media on the left. You're very good at it, too. They attack us. And I've got to be friends with some of these journalists. They send me their article before they put it out. I said, you better bash me more. Your boss isn't going to print this, right? Well, here, I have said from the beginning, shame on Fox, shame on Newsmax, shame on Salem Media. These outlets will not let you talk about elections. Fox would not even let you talk about 2,000 meals, and that wasn't even machines. So here you have now, out of the blue, WABC, after you've been talking about elections for three and a half years, they say no more. We're done. Now, and here's what I believe it is. It's just like when I was first attacked in January of 21, when I got all the machine evidence, I went out there, as you know, waving my hand, and they're shooting my pillow down and all this stuff. For 2 years, it kind of just leveled off, you know. Well, then last summer, when I announced the plan to secure our elections, and it involved getting rid of these electronic voting machines, which I've been fighting for since day one. And the attacks have went up tenfold on me right now. And I say that to people all the time. Don't you see, it's not about Mike overturning the 2020 election. It's he wants to get rid of the computers in our elections and go to paper ballots and count it. Don't you think that John or someone at WABC, all of a sudden they're going, we don't want anybody. Is it talking about the 2020 election, or are they afraid to talk about electronic voting machines? Or maybe it's both. Well,
I think it's all of it. Yeah. And I think you're onto a point there. I mean, even put aside election interference and election cheating, look at all the money they would lose. I mean, this is and look at all the kickbacks politicians wouldn't get.
Yep.
I mean, the two things you have to realize is that this is a business that has a terrible reputation.
Yeah.
And politicians have a terrible reputation. And when money like this is flowing around and they're all in competition with each other, I'm not going to say all of them, but you're going to get a certain number of situations where, you know, somebody pays. There's millions at stake here. Millions and millions. I mean,
it's probably billions. It could be upwards of billions, you know,
if you look at Dominion, right? So Kemp, chief of staff or number two, worked for Dominion. I believe that's true. And Rastenberg's chief of staff went to work for Dominion.
Yeah. Now you think about that. and you talk
sound
about
a little like the Washington lobbyists and all their.
Absolutely. I want to ask you this, Rudy, because if you've ever watched my show, I bash Republicans, uniparty Republicans, more. I call them the biggest blockers this country's ever seen. You got your Brad Rassenberger, number one, Robin Voss out of Wisconsin, number two. I've got a thing like, I'll give you another example. In Arkansas, we had a county, Cleburne County, Arkansas, over a year ago, went to paper ballots. They can vote it in at the county level. They went to paper ballots, hand counted.
Right.
And all these counties were going to follow suit in Arkansas. This Republican named Kim Hammers quick rammed a bill through the Senate. And here's what the bill said. It says, if you are a county in Arkansas and you go to paper ballots, hand counted, we are defunding you at the county level. That's putting a gun to your head. That's like racketeering. And now you think of this. I'm going to ask you this. Did it surprise you since when we first met in the spring, in the summer of 2016, doesn't it surprise you that some of the biggest blockers of all of our efforts to secure our elections have been Republicans with an R by their name? I mean, I've watched you go through that over and over where the attacks come a lot from these uniparty where you don't expect it. Why would crooked Brad Raffensperger down in Georgia want to keep these machines? You know, I mean, and why would he keep this, the curling case suppressed for 3.5 years? You know, you go to Arizona when you first did, I'll never forget when you did your 10 hours of testimony, throwing all the evidence out there back in 2020 or 2020, going into 21, I guess,
right,
or 2020. And here, Doug Ducey, you know, says, nope, we give our electors, we're good to go here. Biden won before you were even done with your press conference. Now, did that surprise you? Did that start surprising you?
No, that didn't surprise me because I had information about Doug and his being compromised.
Okay.
With regard to the 2018 election.
Right.
So there's a whole story there that nobody will investigate.
Nobody knows.
Same thing is true with Kemp. I mean, if you think these guys are clean by whatever Joe Biden meant that Obama was the first clean black candidate, remember when he said that?
These guys have
got a few problems. But in any event, Ducey did everything he could to screw Trump. In one of those places, they had a speaker that looked to me like he was going a little senile. And at the end, he said, all Giuliani said was he had no evidence.
Right.
Now, that would have been the stupidest thing.
Right.
I don't think, I mean, I'm a lawyer. I'm going to go tell him I don't have any evidence. But I have no evidence. I had evidence. I had more evidence than I could carry. It was up to the ceiling. I still have the evidence. And I'm more than happy to sit down with anybody and show them four ways in which these states were stolen.
Right.
And just now, I mean, this becomes a current problem for me on WABC when they say, look, the top of the letter says that there is a policy to have no conversation on WABC or as an agent of WABC about the 2020 election. So if I was still working for WABC, theoretically, I shouldn't be able to talk to you about it either because I'm an agent of WABC.
Right.
So I'm not now. And I never even knew that, which would tell you. And all you have to do is look at my interviews and all I do is talk about it. So if that policy existed, either I didn't know about it, which I didn't.
Or they didn't care.
They didn't really give a damn because they never enforced it.
But now somebody
the lies they're telling are unbelievable. I had a tirade. I demanded double my salary. Look, he's not paying me very much anyway. The reality is none of this is about money. If I wanted to get money, boy, I mean, there are plenty of things I could do. I gave up $6 million law practice to do this.
Right. So, you want to get the word out. You want to get the word out. And I want to, it brings up two things is, you know, so you have all these blockers that were out there and you fought and fought and fought. And I always tell people on January 7th and 8th, I say those are two really important dates in American history people forget about. And on those two dates of January 7th and 8th of 2021, 1.2 million Americans were deplatformed. Whether it would be a church that spoke out about our great real president or they spoke out against the vaccine, maybe, or, you know, those were two things you couldn't talk about, machines or vaccines. Remember, you have machines or vaccines. Well, and then the rest of the country and our great real president lost his Twitter account, you know, and all that during January 7th and 8th. But the rest of the country was put into fear, not even to say anything because of January 6th, right? So I consider those two days, like when we were growing up, remember the old black and white TVs that go to that little tiny dot when you're a kid, you turn it off and it goes down to a little tiny white dot, and you turn it back on, it comes back to life. Well, everybody, that was our voice. That was our voice. And they almost put out our voice, but they didn't quite do it because
of people. So that right.
that stood up and kept talking and would
so
never
right.
let, they
so
would
right.
never let 2020 go down. They would never let it go down. They would never let it die. And now you look what's happened now. Our voice has gotten so big. It's gotten bigger through all the different social media platforms. You got True Social, Frank Social, Getter, Gab, Instagram, you know, even Facebook, you know, that has come around a little bit, Twitter with Elon. But you got all these platforms now where people are getting their information. And on great shows like yourself, and we have people up here, we have Frank Speech, which we're about to tell you, there's an invite right now. We would love to have you over here with Lou Dobbs and Steve Bannon, myself, and Emerald Robinson. So we'll talk. We'll talk about that.
Okay.
Our voice, what?
I have a very loyal audience at WABC, and then I have an audience at night between 8 and 9. They overlap about 20%, but they're quite different. And so they basically have taken away my afternoon audience. I still have my evening audience. We're getting them now in record. We're getting them in record numbers, as you would expect, right? But we do anywhere from 250 to 1 million a night, depending on the night.
Right. And we'd love to have you
they're
over
getting,
here.
I mean, they're outraged. And none of my listeners can understand this policy. Because that's all I talk about. I may actually, from a radio point of view itself, I may talk about it too much. You know?
Right.
I've had some of the producers say,
here's what
there's a reason for it, Mike. Let me just tell you the reason for it, I think. They kept quiet for 3.5 years. I've said terrible things about the election. I mean, everything you could possibly say. I spent a week on 2,000 mules. I spent a week on your stuff when you put your stuff out. Doesn't matter. Whatever. Okay. Now, why now? A couple of reasons. But he's involved in a litigation involving Newsmax. John is, and he's being subpoenaed because they say he made some backroom deal with Poulos, the head of Dominion. He will not give them the documents with regard to that deal. I don't know what it is, but he's fighting it. So that's the one change. The other change is, they've done a pretty good job of shutting up his lawyers, Trump's lawyers. You know, every one of them, people wonder, well, why don't the lawyers speak out when Trump is gagged? Because they all have gag orders. Well, they now got a gag order on me this way.
Right.
And if they can shut us up about the 2020 election, they're going to cheat in 2024 even more. And as the stakes get higher that they have to cheat, you know, maybe 6 months ago, they didn't think they had to cheat as much. Right. Now they got to cheat more than they did last time.
That's right.
A guy like me or a guy like you is very dangerous to them if we keep reminding people of how they how they put in 700,000 ballots in Pennsylvania and no Republican could look at it. How they wouldn't let us look at any of the 300,000 ballots in Georgia. They just discovered that 375,000 ballots in Georgia are missing, and I have evidence from federal agent that the FBI and Barr refused to follow up on a burning of ballots that took place after the election. And 375,000 are missing. And I sure as hell would like to get that evidence because maybe I can link it. You shouldn't have been burning ballots a month after the election outside of Fulton County. But there's so much evidence. You and I know that. Public has only gotten about half of it.
Right. Well, here's the thing too, Rudy. You're exactly right, though. You're spot on. It's like I do another analogy with my pillow. You know, when I did my first infomercial in 2011, I went from 10 employees to 540 days. I took in the spring of 2012, took in $200 million. But by May, I was $6 million in debt. I was in tears. I didn't use a bank back then. And I go, God, what did I do wrong? Well, there was so much betrayal and handshake deals that people betrayed me and took advantage of my pillow then because I didn't know. Well, I took everything in-house and learned from that. I would never let, at the time it was devastating to me, but I wouldn't let 2012 go. I go, what went wrong? And I took apart every little piece of that. And here, 84 million MyPillows later, this huge company with thousands of employees, it would not be here if 2012 hadn't existed. I say the 2020 election will probably be the most important in history because of everything that was exposed. And I want to ask you something.
Right, Mike.
And I want to ask you something there. Right. And if here's what I say to people, too, to bring people more hope. I firmly believe this now is that if they would have flipped the election right away back to Donald Trump, let's say on December 14th, the Supreme Court flips it back to to Donald Trump. I believe we would have probably lost our country forever. And here's why I say that. There was so much left to uncover, and they would have just put up with Donald Trump for 4 years, and then they still had the computers. Nothing would have been exposed, and they could have just, it would have just delayed the inevitable. Now we know too much. Over the last 3.5 years, what we have found out is like we found out who the bad politicians are. We found out the public has been educated. You know, I see Democrats every day pouring over to this bucket of common sense now, the Donald Trump bucket, because they see all this stuff, the attacks on yourself and the censorship. Why are they censoring it right now? They're censoring because they don't want to talk about 2020, because you learn from 2020 and you correct it. And you are right. In 2020, and I've told people this, right now, in what I believe, this is my belief, that Donald Trump won 82 million to 66 million approximately in the 2020 election. This is my view, okay? And by the numbers I've seen, and believe me, I've seen more evidence than probably anyone on the planet, because I've been immersed in it 18 hours a day for 3 years now. And so I've seen all this. Now, this time around, when you got a president, the more they attack him, and I tell him this all the time, I said, you keep getting attacked, Mr. President, or keep getting indicted, pretty soon you're going to have more votes than voters like Pennsylvania, because people keep pouring into this bucket, because he gives them no reason to leave this bucket. And once they're in there and they remember, people remember what December of 2019 was like. People's lives had all improved because of great political decisions being made. They could see the results, just like when you cleaned up New York. They could see the results. It was right
and
in front of them.
And we weren't at war. We weren't at war.
Yep. And we were not at war.
We almost went into a world war.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll say to this, everybody, these are things that are going to happen that people are not going to put up with in this next election. One of them was me. And I'm going to tell you, Rudy, back in November of 2020, all I did, I was glued to the TV watching you go around and do all your things and, you know, working on covers. But I was doing my own investigations, too. One of the things I found that has been confirmed is every state and every county that I've found, and every single one that we looked into, had residents that didn't live in that county or state that voted, and people that weren't alive that voted. Now, it didn't make sense to me. It didn't make sense to me. I'm going, people are generally good people. I couldn't imagine being in Minnesota and saying, hey, let's get 10,000 people and march into Wisconsin and commit a crime to vote for Biden. It didn't make sense. And then when I got my evidence on January 9th of 2021, it made sense that it would be done with computers. And people are not going to put up with these anomalies in this next election, these mathematical impossibilities. They've suppressed and suppressed. Why does Wisconsin have 7,200,000 names on their voter rolls when if every single person in Wisconsin voted that could vote, it's 4,100,000? And you got a Republican not wanting to clean this up.
Mike, I could have told you that answer after my first election. I learned about it in my first election. There were hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people on the voting rolls of New York that were dead, that had moved out, that hadn't been seen in years. And we tried to purge it. We tried to purge it. And we were told that we were too late. So I lost. I lost by less than a percent. I had more than enough affidavits of irregularities challenging, but I also know that the New York Supreme Court is corrupt, Democrat, and I would never have won. I could have had a million ballots, and they would have thrown me out. And I beat the first black mayor, and they would have made it into a racial. But I also got the highest vote any Republican had gotten since LaGuardia. So I said, okay, we're going to prepare next time. So we went and we did a multi-million-dollar voter integrity effort, but we also went to court to try to get the voter rolls purged.
Right.
And we were told we were violating civil rights if we did that. Now, how What if I violate civil rights and take a dead person's name off the voting list? Those are there so the Democratic bosses can use it to attach registrations to for the phony votes.
Absolutely.
And here's another thing. To this day, no Republican, independent Republican, me or one of Trump's lawyers, has gotten to see a single piece of paper. They're holding back every single piece of paper in Georgia, because I guarantee you, if I take any 5,000, I will find phony ballots. And we've got people in the machines to do it. And I can pretty much tell you where they were being produced. When we almost got to them, Kemp brought out the National Guard to protect these papers. Now, if you were Kemp, right? If you were Kemp or that other Razim Baba Booba, whatever his name is. Yeah. Well, if you were them and you're getting accused of this by the President of the United States, why don't you say, I have no problem, Mr. President. My ballots are perfect. Come and look at all of them. We'll have the FBI here so you can't take any away. Let's satisfy this jerk Giuliani. Let him bring in this Pulitzer guy who we think is a fraud. There's nothing fraudulent about him at all. Let him have a day with the documents.
Right.
To the death. They fought us to the death. There, Pennsylvania, Michigan. And they did it in the crooked states. They picked their crooked cities. Atlanta is as corrupt as New York. New York is as corrupt as Philadelphia.
Right.
Detroit may be worse. I mean, come on. They didn't go pick nice town USA to do it. They picked places where there's a democratic dictatorship and the judges are crooked as hell.
Yeah, that's right.
You're watching in the Trump trial, if you know anything about the law, you know that they're not, I get disgusted even calling them judges.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they're making up rules. They're making up all kinds of rules that are ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's what you have every place where you have a democratic dictatorship. Like Chicago, one party rule. The bosses of the party appoint the judges, and then they expect the judges in return to do what they want.
Well, look at the nonsensical stuff that the great Attorney General Ken Paxton, when they didn't like what he does because he was polling so high, so they couldn't steal his race from him, they take away his ability to prosecute one crime, election crime. They take away, who does that? You take away an Attorney General's right to prosecute election crime. But I want to go back to Georgia. I want to tell people, this is why they attack our great mayor here and myself and everyone else that has a voice. Remember, so many people, when they were stopped out there, they just said, you know what? I will keep talking. I'll get my own podcast. I'll get my own platform and keep talking. They're attacking you. Now, I want to tell you things like this. In Georgia, in the primary, I love bringing this one up. In a primary, this was the summer of 22, three Democrats running. This nice Democrat lady and her husband, she ran and she got zero votes in her own precinct. Now, that's a mathematical impossibility. I always said Crooked Brad should have gave him two votes. So they would have said, oh, man, the only one that loves you is your husband. Or they could have gave her one vote. And they'd have been in divorce court probably, right? Well, but they gave her zero. So they give her zero. So Crooked Brad, the Secretary of State's office, they quick get down there and they go, what are we going to do? Well, they looked into the machines. Imagine you could look into machines and into the computer and see, there was a computer error. You got 3,600 votes, ma'am. You went from third to first, and they did it in 2 days. Now, here's the better one. Four counties over, another Democrat, three more Democrats, because these machines work both ways, everybody. Three more Democrats, and this lady got 4,657 votes. The problem is she wasn't on the ballot, and she wasn't a write-in. So 2 months prior, she had said she was running. She backed out. Now, she gets it by the computer. What it did, when they dug into that, all these votes that were pulled from this candidate they wanted to lose to this lady that nobody knew about, well, they quick opened up that case, and that was shut down in 2 days. And Brad's office said, here was their statement. It was a programming error. Well, we had a question for them down there in Georgia. Why are you programming our elections? And who's the guy that typed in this lady's name? I want to talk to that guy that programmed it to pull votes with the computer to this lady. It's disgusting.
That'll be hidden. It'll be hidden completely. Look, the report of the SEB in Georgia says there are 375,000 missing paper ballots.
Right.
And they say, but it doesn't matter. It didn't affect the election. Well, first of all, since they don't have the ballots, how the hell do they know if it does affect the election?
That's
right. What part of the state did it come from? That would tell you something about whether it. And how about you do a full investigation of why they're missing and report to us all of that?
And why is it?
Rauschenberger says, no, there were duplicate counts. There were duplicate. Well, every time they counted the vote, Mike, if I'm right, every time they counted the vote, they had all the phony paper in there.
Absolutely.
They recounted that.
Okay.
The same fraudulent ballots over and over again. Now 375 are missing. That's a lot of ballots to be missing.
That's a lot of ballots.
And they get
missing.
Away with no explanation. No explanation of it.
But what I'm saying, Rudy, if you had your media, your conservative media that was on board, voices we used to have 4 years ago, like Newsmax or Fox News or Salem Media or now WABC, they'd be screaming from the top of their lungs going, look what they found in Georgia. There's ballots missing. But you don't hear that on the mainstream media. That's the tool they use to suppress this. They use this. Crooked Brad Rauschenberger. Everybody needs to know about Crooked Brad. He was polling at 38% the night before his own election, and he won 51-49. Wow, way to go, Brad. Nobody makes up that kind of those polling numbers in one night. It's impossible. There's a mathematical impossibility. Brian Kemp, when he won and he got 71%, Candace Taylor, we went to every county in Georgia. She got 5% exactly of every single Kemp vote in that county. So in other words, Candace got 5% of all Kemp's voting, right? But every county. Now, she even had 60,000 people on the ground. They went and got affidavits from that they voted for her. Instead of 60,000 affidavits, she only had 20-some thousand votes total. It was crazy. So all this stuff going down in Georgia, and everybody, I talk about this all the time, Brad Rauschenberger suppressed the curling case, which was against Brad. Hey, grab me that hat over there, will you? So against Brad and Brad Rauschenberger. Now, that was put up by Democrats in the beginning, I believe, Rudy. And here, that case finally, that was the expert Alex Halderman, who actually got to look inside the machines two, 3 years ago. Well, that judge this last fall ruled, she said, you know what? We're going to push this case forward. We're going to look into it because the experts say there's a problem with these machines. And this is an Obama-appointed judge, everybody. And then she said, if you question the machines, you're not a conspiracy theorist. So that day I got to take off my tinfoil hat, Rudy, on national TV. I was going, I'm making all kinds of tinfoil hats here, you know. But she did that. Now, that case, that case went to court on January 9th. Of this year, and it goes to court on January 9th. Alex Halderman, but believe me, is not a Trump supporter. I believe he's a Democrat. Don't matter. But he's an expert that got to see inside the machine, right in front of the judge. He hacked into the Dominion machine and flipped the election with a ballpoint pen, and that should have been worldwide news. Should have been worldwide news all over the world. Another thing that should be worldwide news, we just had a case go to the Supreme Court with all my lawyers, Les Alan Dershowitz, who's a coward that backed out of everything. Can I say that on my network? Is that okay to say? Coward.
I don't know. I'm the one that says it, but
well, Alan,
I'm free
Alan
now.
Backed out.
I'm free.
Alan
I can say anything I want.
Right. Well, we took these cases to in Arizona. I was going to go, Rudy, to every county in the country or every state in the country and get these machines like a defective device. Like if you had bad brakes in a car, you'd have a recall on them, right? So we were going state to state. First we went to Arizona, then to Alabama. But back in Arizona, you need plaintiffs. So in the spring of 22, I got Kerry Lake and I got Mark Fincham. Because they were both going to run for office. So we get these two. We put all the stuff in Arizona where the machines are defective. And And I hired Alan Dershowitz as one of the lawyers because he's a Democrat, and he realizes, hey, we have to have fair elections, right? He was all about this. So the courts down there, they come up with the word, and you know this word well, you don't have standing. They push it back. You don't have standing. Then it goes to the Ninth Circuit down there, Eighth Circuit or whatever, the Supreme Court in Arizona. And they affirm that. You don't have standing. Who does have standing if two people running for office don't have standing? Then we all know what happened in the Kerry Lake race where all the machines, 242 machines go down at the exact moment in history, all Republican areas. And then they sanctioned the lawyers. That's when Alan backed out. I go, oh, Alan, you go this far, and now you back out on this case, the most important case to this country? And he backs out. But great Kurt Olson and stuff, we went on to the Supreme Court. Just in November, we found in the machines decryption keys. They're inside the machines, these decryption keys that are like God keys. You can do anything you want with the computers. It's like having a bank vault with the combination wrote on the outside, or if I give you my ATM card with my passcode on it, or the password to my computer. So we bring this to the Supreme Court a month ago. The Supreme Court says, nope, we don't want to see it. But now it's public record there of all this new evidence in this. And they deemed, the government deemed our elections critical infrastructure. And we have evidence of showing China all kinds of interference from overseas. But at least it's public record there. But the point I'm making.
That's important.
The point I'm making, Rudy. Right. The point I'm making, Rudy, is this. Any other time in history, those things I just said would be all over the news. It would be worldwide news. Hey, these are problems with our election platforms. How come we right now, and I'm going to tell everybody this, we have the worst election platforms in the world. There's nobody worse than this because we have all the bad things. And you know how many countries have outlawed early voting and mail-in voting? Tons of them. We still have that. We brought it because of the China virus. Oh, we better do this because the China virus is gone. This stuff should be gone. Then we have these machines, which are outlawed in country after country, including Argentina now, that had a great real election this last fall. And then we had, you had Taiwan, Ecuador, all these places, Germany, France, all these places that have paper ballots hand counted. Without the media, because people ask me all the time, is there still hope? Absolutely, there's hope. Everything we've done so far, like I have over 250 counties that are going to go to paper ballots hand counted for the 2024 election. Now, I'm going to tell you
that's
this.
Fabulous.
Yeah, that is good. And I'm going to tell you, here's another thing. And I like to say, all machines are created equal. We're not going to just pick on the ones that the Dominions. I'm going to tell you something that just happened, Rudy, with ES&S machines in South Dakota. In South Dakota, they're the biggest machine company in the country, by the way. ES&S is everybody out of Omaha, Nebraska. Now, the one thing that we've learned over the last 3 years is called cast vote records. Now, a cast vote record that you can request under the Freedom of Information Act to get these cast vote records. When I did a shout out, Rudy, in the summer of 22, because the government says you have to hold them for 22 months. That's a law, federal law. So we were able to obtain over 1,000 cast vote records in the 2020 election. Now, they either show machine manipulation or no machine manipulation, right? Computer manipulation. It's kind of like a traitor or a hero. There's no in between. This day we're in now, there's no in between. You're either a traitor or a hero, as far as I'm concerned, because it's, you know, that's it. Well, with these cast vote records, we went through them all. The experts went through them all. Every one of them in the 2020 election had computer manipulation. Every single one. One third of the United States. That was all we were able to get of the cast vote record. Now, it was harder to get them in 2022 because red states like South Dakota, who never have given us a cast vote record, you would think you'd be able to go into South Dakota, say, hey, give us your cast vote records. You know, it's under the, you know, this is what we have the right to have. It's the order the votes come in. Well, this just happened, Rudy. This is news, and it's news to all of you out there. I just got a report from my team on the ground in South Dakota. Their Secretary of State, Monet Johnson, we have an email, her ordering ES&S to turn off all the ballot images for their election on June 4th, coming up in a couple weeks. It's a crime. She ordered this, so all the machines in South Dakota, you will not be able to get a cast vote record because she's had them turned off by ESNS. We reached out to ESNS. They affirmed it. We're just taking orders. This is disgusting. This is the Secretary of State it is bad. So
I've got to run to my show. But
okay, I'm going to tell you real quick. I want to ask you, Rudy. Yeah, absolutely, Rudy. And I want to thank you for being the greatest mayor and greatest patriot this country's ever seen. Your voice means so much to our nation.
You too, my friend.
Yeah, so much to our nation. And I want to, by your voice, by us keeping our voices going, I want to tell everyone, and I'm going to tell you this, I believe this has all been on God's timing. We're going to get to this great place. We're going to look back, and even the bad things that happened, are God used for good, because it's opening people's eyes to all this corruption and stuff we've seen. So, and Rudy,
I really do believe that. I believe that. Yep. And we'll be back on very, very shortly, and I'll have you on my show too, all right?
Okay, all right, Mayor. You're invited to Frank's speech anytime. God bless you. Thank you.
I'd love to be with you, so we'll talk, all right?
All right. Thanks.
Take care, Mike.
Yeah, thank you. Well, everybody, that was the great mayor, Rudy Giuliani. Greatest mayor this country's ever seen. And I was there in New York. You know, when I went to New York, I used to love being in Times Square where he cleaned up New York. And first thing he did, he literally cleaned it up, all the garbage and everything. And you would literally, I felt so safe in Times Square and in New York. I'd go there all the time. And I haven't been back to New York now. It's been years. And I've heard from people there. It's totally different now. The fear that's there. And it's sad because you had such a success. Why would you change a success? It's just like what we're seeing with our border. Why would you stop building a wall that was working was going to be the best border in history, and it was getting very close. And now you open it up to drugs pouring in, open it up to illegals pouring in. And by the way, we're doing a big program now, flipping Democrats. So you all need to go to Lindell Plan. Help us out, lindellplan.com, or call 800-598-6747. You guys call those numbers and help us out. We need the donations now. We need help. We're doing all these things out there, going county by county. Our great teams all over the country working in every single county in the country. We also need you to sign a petition there. It's the biggest petition this country has ever seen. You go there and sign this petition for your county. We want these clerks to know that you have their back. We're going to be bringing this up to your clerks in your counties that control whether to have these machines or not, and they can go to paper ballots. They don't want to be alone. I don't care if you're a Democrat, Republican. I don't care how you voted previously. You heard me say earlier in the show, Donald Trump united this country. He has united this country. All people now are pouring into this bucket of common sense. We don't want $7 gas. We don't want drugs pouring in. People are brothers and sisters, daughters and sons dying from drugs overdoses and people getting killed by illegals that shouldn't be here, felons, everything else that pouring in. You know, if you want to come to our country, come in legally. You know, and it's disgusting. We need help. Get in there, sign the petition. I'll send you a $20 free I'll tell you what it is. It's my audiobook that I did myself. It'll tell you about the first time that I met Donald Trump. I just talked to you about Rudy in that office with Donald Trump in this August 15, 2016. As you get through my book, it's towards the end, and you'll see how I went from a functioning addict to a crack cocaine addict to inventing my pillow, to quitting everything January 16, 2009, to getting into politics or getting into something I never knew a thing about. I had never voted in my life, to getting saved on February 18, 2017, everybody. That's when I found Jesus as my personal savior. And so you get that free digital, but go there though and sign that petition for your county. We really need that right now for everything. And you just heard, this is what it's all been about. This is why we have Frank's speech here, is You just heard, here's the greatest mayor and greatest, one of the greatest attorneys this country's ever seen, and an American hero, and he's over there at WABC, supposedly one of our voices, and out of the blue, after 3 years, they say, bye-bye, Mr. Mayor. You can't talk about elections. We're going to let you go. You don't get to talk about the 2020 election. We don't even care if you talk about machines. You even mention, you even say the word 2020 and you're gone. Matter of fact, you're gone. So they censor and they kick him out. John Castamatidis, I mean, it's disgusting. You know, absolutely disgusting. And I'll say it. I met John at way back in 2015, this, May of 15 at a big event. And that's in my book too. I sat next to him. It's in my book. So you guys, it's another reason to sign a petition to get that free audio book. But me and John, the owner of WABC, he sat right next to me, and I told the story. There was Homeland Security there, the CIA. It was like a big federal convention thing, and I went there with my friend Stephen Baldwin, and they gave me some award for all of the stuff we were doing with our foundation. But it was all the federal outlets. You know, you had FBI, CIA, I think Homeland Security, and all these people sitting around, well, in these big tables. There's probably 14 of us at our table. And Stephen had said, he goes, now, Mike, whatever you do, just if they bring up drugs or whatever, just say you had a few issues. I'm going, why can't I just say I was a crack addict? You know, why are you censoring me, basically? But I went in there, and I wasn't very good at talking with people that I was kind of, if you read my book, I had pretty much fear of rejection. I certainly couldn't talk in public. Anyway, I get to this table, and we're sitting there, and I'm all just sitting there like being, for me, it was always like being in an elevator. It was very, very nerve-wracking just sitting there and listening to all these people. I felt unworthy. I didn't fit in or wasn't good enough. I feared people that wore ties, you know, and suits. You know, I'm going, you know, maybe I wasn't as good as them or unworthy. I didn't know, but it was fear of rejection. I found out later it was fear of rejection. Well, you can't get rejected if you don't talk. So that's the way I was. I'm sitting there, I'm next to this John Castamatidis, and he's to my left, I believe. And then you had this couple here from Homeland Security. Well, all of a sudden, the one lady from Homeland Security, she goes, this is in my book. She says, Mike, you know, I heard, remember, they knew me from my pillow by then. This is May of 2015. She says, I read somewhere that you were, you were a crack addict or cocaine. She said one or the other. And I said, and I look over at Steve, and he goes, just go ahead. You know, let her. Well, then I was in my wheelhouse, and I start telling her this story about, you know, going across. My license was only good in 49 states. It wasn't good in Minnesota. And I said, boy, do I got a story for you. This is Homeland Security now. I said, so here I am leaving the state of Minnesota. I couldn't wait to get into Wisconsin. I had a whole bunch of cocaine. I'm going to do a pillow show. Back then, yes, I was still on drugs when I invented the pillow. That was in 2004, everybody. By the grace of God, I made it to be able to quit everything on January 16, 2009. That's all in the book, by the way. It's all in the book. Anyway, I got this little beat-up pickup truck with the pillows shrunk down. They're shrunk down, and, you know, very small and wrapped in big plastic, so it looked like a big bomb going down the highway. Imagine this little tiny pickup truck, this big white, you know, three times the size of the truck. And I'm inside the truck, and I'm doing lines of cocaine and driving this truck. I was great. I'm in Wisconsin now and heading down the highway. Well, all of a sudden, I kept seeing this helicopter. Now, I'm telling this story to this to these people at this table, this Homeland Security, this couple from there, and the CIA guy, and all these other federal marshal's office. They were all there. Anyway, I kept seeing this helicopter, and all of a sudden I looked, I'm about 30 miles down the road, and the helicopter showed up three times. Well, I look over, and there's no cars coming on this four-lane highway from that direction. I'm going, that's strange. I'm going, that's really weird. And then, you know, I look in front of me. There's no cars in front of me. It was like a weird thing, like I'm kind of the only one on the highway. And there was nobody behind me. And it was very strange. So I come up over the hill about a mile down the road, and all I see is Homeland Security. They had a roadblock there, and this helicopter landed, and somebody had reported these pillows as a bomb going down the road. And So I get out, and they didn't know me as My Pillow then. I guess maybe there was a couple that might have. I had just been, they're infomercials, not so much commercials back then. But anyway, they took apart all the pillows, and I hadn't even been on TV yet. I take that back. I hadn't even been on TV because this was in 2008, I believe. So yeah, I hadn't been on TV. Nobody knew My Pillow from the Man on the Moon. Because I was still, I didn't do TV until after I got off drugs. Well, anyway, they seen they were pillows, and they put everything kind of back together and told me I shouldn't have stuff hanging over the side and all this. And the lady, from Homeland Security, she says to me then, after they're all hearing this story, I'm telling to all these, four forkers at this big event, and three to four forks. I didn't even know what to do to all these forks. And she says, "Well, what'd you do with the cocaine?" I said, "Well, I seen the movie with the helicopter. I did it, got rid of it. I did it all." And that John Castamatidis looks over at me and he goes, "You're not like any other CEO we've ever seen." And it was very, it's in the book there, but at the same time, John was to my right. The guy to my left then, he knew Donald Trump, and he had said to me, this was in May of 15, he said, "Hey, I know Donald Trump." He says, "Would you like to meet him?" And he was this Diamond Award thing, I had never watched The Apprentice, and I just knew, the name Donald Trump, of course. And I'm going, I don't know why, he says, he said something like, let's meet tomorrow at his hotel or whatever. But I just, I'm going, well, why do I want to meet Donald Trump or whatever? And I just thought he had something to sell, which he did. Well, anyway, to make a long story short there, we never did meet that day. It was saved for something way into the future on August 15th of 2016, which you heard here tonight. But the point of the story I'm making is it's kind of strange where all this comes back around, and I see now that John Castamatidis, and actually he invited me to his big studio, and he had all these pictures of presidents. He's a billionaire grocer, I guess, out of New York, and he's pretty famous around New York, I guess. But I mean, he must end up getting WABC, where incidentally I got my start, if you all remember, back with Don Imus and I actually did another show even before that with WABC. So here's John, and he actually brings me through his whole office back then. And I thought it was kind of weird. I thought, wow, this is, he had all the Democrat presidents up there and Republicans. But like I say, I didn't know much about this stuff then. He actually had me on his show then, couple times, but last year, or I mean in 2021, he censored me right on his show. And now we find out today, here's a guy that you think, oh yeah, I've got the people's back or whatever, his billionaire guy or whatever, that in this big thing, this suit and tie dinner I'm at way back then, just telling it like it is, like I always do. I tell it like it is. I have nothing to hide. When Stephen Baldwin said to me that time, "Just tell him you have addiction issues," I went right out and said I was a crack cocaine addict. I got nothing to hide. You can't change your past. You can only try and help people from your past and help yourself based on what happened in the past. And by the way, everybody, here's another thing, and Paul, maybe you can put this up. If you have addiction or know anyone else in addiction right now with the place we're in this country, go to LindellRecoveryNetwork.org. LindellRecoveryNetwork.org. You guys, it is free. I worked on it for 3 years, put millions of dollars into this. This before all this election stuff. I thought that was going to be my calling, to just help addicts out of addiction. But the obviously elections came along. There's a lot of other stuff too. But you can go there. Go to the LindellRecoveryNetwork.org. Paul, could you put that up, please? So if you guys go there, you can donate. We need donations there too, everybody. If you can, there it is right there, everybody. Donate now. Help out right now if you can. But if you know someone in addiction, this is their platform. It's free. It's free. Everybody knows me by now, and they might not know I was an ex-crack addict. When I'm on the road and I'm out there doing it all over the country, I don't care where it's at. It could be the inner city of Chicago. It could be at a Trump rally. It doesn't matter. People come up to me, and it's two things. Keep going. Help save our country. Don't ever stop talking. Don't ever give up, Mike. Please don't ever give up. The other thing is, I want to thank you. My daughter, my son, my brother, my sister, my dad, my aunt, whatever, my neighbor, they went to your recovery network and they got help. Your story, speaking out for Jesus, has helped them. They've got, you know, don't ever stop doing that. This is why you're always wearing your cross. You're always, and so this is it. This is the LindellRecoveryNetwork.org, everybody. Don't give up on someone that he's incorrigible. Right now, this time in history, if you can't reach out to someone now, they're looking for hope. This is the time. If you're a pastor out there in a church, people, if you can't be a minister now, an evangelist now, you're in the wrong business. You need to get out there right now and get out there and help people. And because they're looking for help. Now, they might not be looking for help before, and this will plant seeds. You go there, and they will see it. It's free, and it's stuff they've never, ever seen before. There is no addict that has seen anything like this website. They can spend 50 hours on there and not get through the whole website. More than that, we have spent 4 years, maybe 5 years now, a team of people building this website with videos and everything else, this buildup. And there's an online program on there that's free where I actually got saved on February 18th, 2017. That program that I went through is actually online here and free. So there you go, everybody. But what I want to say here is we got just a few minutes. I want to tell everybody, what you've seen today here with Rudy Giuliani and the censorship that John Katsimatidis did with WABC out of New York, they're not your friends to save our country, everybody. WABC is not your friends now to save your country. Just like you're not going to get your news from Fox about the election. You're not going to get it from Newsmax. You're not going to get it from Salem Media. Lawfare has got to all them. Lawfare, they're either afraid of getting sued, they're in on it, I won't name which ones I believe are in on it, or over there with John's case, at WABC, we don't know. Rudy spoke out about elections all the way until a couple days ago. What changed? I'll tell you what changed, just like when they've turned up the attacks on me and my company. They don't want the machines gone. They don't want you to have paper ballots hand counted. That's the fact. That's what they don't want. They don't want, they want to keep computers in your elections. You heard the money behind it and the corruption behind it. That's how you take a country. That's how they've taken 52 countries now. We have to get rid of the electronic voting machines, everybody. You please help us out. Help us get this done. Get your voice out there and help out. Keep everybody, you don't tell everybody about Frank's speech. I'm going to tell everybody, we are going to reach out to our great mayor, Rudy Giuliani. We would love to get him over here at Frank's speech. We'll put out an offer. I know you would all love him over here, because over here, we can say anything we want. You know, I tell people, like, Newsmax has already been sued. You've already been sued. What, now you won't talk because you've already been sued? I got lawsuits piled up like cordwood. Bring it on, ESNS. It's corruption, 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 and the truth will get out, and the truth is getting out because of all of you. I want to thank you all, and God bless our audience here. Tell everyone about us. We're on Roku. We have a new platform out there. It's all been redone, you guys. You got to check out Roku, Apple TV, Fire TV, Fire Stick. You can get our app, Frank Speech. By the way, get Frank Social, our social media app. It's an amazing social media app. They're connected, Frank Speech and Frank Social. One click of a button, you're talking to me and all your other friends out there. You guys get involved, okay? And this has been a great show. I'm very excited, and we'll see you tomorrow night. We will never, ever, ever stop talking. And thank you, Mayor Giuliani, for coming on tonight, and God bless you all.